Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on August 14th, 2016, and is entitled The Upright Walk of a Bowed Down Man.
Have your Bibles in hand. We're going to 1 Peter chapter 5. Back of the bulletin, you'll see today's notes. If you've been with us this summer, we've been in a sermon series, and that sermon series is entitled Building a Forever Faith. We're looking through the two epistles, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and today we're really looking at chapter 5, 1 Peter, and the message to title is The Upright Walk of a Bowed Down Man. We're looking at really the closing comments of Peter to these Christians who are really suffering. They're facing persecution. And so with that, the aspect of submission and humility, very big ingredients. So isn't it interesting? Let's pray. Father, thank you for helping us once again as we just even come to your word with great need and humility and saying, Lord, I feel we can hear something from you. Lord, would you do that? Would you use this vessel to enable your word to go forth with effective power that would bring healing to every life and home in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody said, even God can't sink this ship. Man, that was the reference to the Titanic. What an amazing, outlandish comment. Even God can't sink this ship. And at that time, that ship was probably the strongest and the most luxurious ship that was made. It required 12,000 workers over 2 years to put it together. It was declared invincible. Can you imagine? Invincible. So on its maiden voyage on April 14th, in the year 1912, they ended up saying, we don't even need to have just a lifeboat check. We don't need to go through those drills at all. And so they launched out because it's invincible. Nobody thought it was going to sink. But just before midnight, 11:40 p.m., it struck an iceberg, the ship went down, and you know the story. But isn't it interesting how that in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, it says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And when we take a look at some of the things that are happening here in Scripture, no wonder why the Bible, even today, as Peter's writing to the Christians, he's addressing some things about pride and the element of submission. But pride is probably the oldest sin. It continues to have no signs of weakening, pride does. It was pride that caused Lucifer to get kicked out of heaven. It was pride that caused Adam and Eve to get kicked out of the garden. You might have even faced some just onslaught of being removed from an environment. You might say, was it pride that caused that to happen? Pride has an ability to really get us in trouble. Matter of fact, its pride will probably be, if you were to consider that, it's your greatest enemy. And humility will be your greatest friend. It's always been that way. It's D.L. Moody says, be humble or you'll stumble. And sometimes that humility, it shows up in the most unusual settings. Probably one that's noteworthy, and it's a great reminder, almost 40 years now, when President Reagan was shot, attempted assassination, that the bullet grazed his rib, he went into the hospital. It was said that a nurse went into his room and found President Reagan on the floor with a towel trying to soak up a water spill. And she said, oh, President Reagan, we have interns, we have nurses to do this, please stop. No. I don't want any intern or nurse to get in trouble for the spilt water in the bathroom. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes that humility, when you see a person, say, wow, how amazing is that? Let's take a look, because all of a sudden we have Peter is addressing, last week he was addressing the leadership, the elders. Remember that? Shepherd the flock of God. Now he's going to address the youngers. Then he's going to address all of us. So let's look here. I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through verse 7. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. We take a look here. Isn't it worth noting? Can you imagine? Subject here, he is addressing people who are suffering. We got that. We saw in his words how that people are really struggling. How many know when people suffer, sometimes the worst comes out of people? People start to react differently. There are things we start to have where there are poor qualities that we just wish we didn't behave so. Sometimes tempers flare up. Sometimes those areas where we become irrational, accusations fly. When people suffer, things start to happen in people's just personality. And as we look at that, so he's addressing that, and he starts to bring up the fact about, right off, we look verse 5, likewise you younger people. Now I thought, that is an amazing thing. We're going to address that. But in that setting here, as people start to suffer, oftentimes becomes, even in a church setting, when a church goes through, and I've worked with churches where they are going through shifts, sometimes pastoral changes, and things become very volatile, that sometimes it becomes the younger people who might not really even trust the older people. And so right away, he's even saying that. He says, likewise, you younger people. Something worth noting, I think that because a pattern that can exist even in our modern setting. So some things that Peter brings up, let's address that. Our first point, number one, responding to authority helps leadership. It's just the way this group of Christians, they are suffering. So he's saying, hey, all of you, but he starts off with verse 4 and 5. Look at that, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Now, one of the things that when verse 5 comes along, likewise, because he's addressing about the elders, be ones who shepherd the flock of God. And when the chief shepherd appears, you're going to receive that crown that doesn't fade away. But he brings up this aspect in verse 5, submit yourself, you young people, to the elders. Now, that's an amazing thing, because that seems to be his theme, has it not? We've dealt with the word submission. If you were to take note of that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, he says, submit to every ordinance of man. Remember that? Then he came along in chapter 2, verse 13, servants, submit to your masters. We equated that to, man, let's make sure we represent Christ good with our employers. And then chapter 3, verse 1, wives, submit to your husbands. In chapter 3, verse 22, even the angels were subject to Christ. In other words, submitted to Christ. You can always find there is that element of submission as we just address that now for a moment. That's what really keeps society together. Submission is so necessary to have that flow. Have you ever seen two dogs when they kind of have a little tussle, you know, when they're kind of playful and just bouncing around, and then all of a sudden somebody gets the canines going and now they're about ready to go at it and they're mad. Have you seen that? And then all of a sudden one of the dogs will do what? In submission, roll over on its back and expose its most vulnerable part to the dominant dog, upon which they'll lunge and grab the throat. And then fight's over. All right, we're buddies, and off they go playing. There's something about that, isn't it, where you just recognize, I'm going to submit because I just realize we're going to be at peace once something takes place like that. But he's addressing something. You can't even be saved without submission. That means that you or I would have to come along and say, I'm going to submit to some alien force I don't even really know what this God is going to want from me. What will he require? And that's kept some of you. Maybe you're still here. You're checking out whether your life's going to be with God or not, because there's a little bit of concern. How much will I have to stop what I'm doing if I give my life to God? There's a lot of talk about grace. Good songs that are out there, grace, 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 grace. No change, just grace. But what if God wants you or me to change? It's a real challenge. And it's that word submission, even to God. But here we're addressing, younger people. Now, probably references, it really is, the more modern translation, I'm reading from the New King James, which means young people, but most have young men. Why young men? I'm just going to take the guess here, why young men? Because isn't it interesting to note, it's often the young men that are impulsive, aggressive, headstrong. And I'm just saying that from experience. I could share my own experience. That it's always the young men. In dealing with my own dad, and I worked with my father in a family printing business for 8 years, worked with him. Then he went home to be with God in heaven. And I carried over the business for 2 years until I turned it over to the relatives and became full-time pastor. But I remember the challenges of my poor dad. I mean, he would have something. I mean, he's only been in business when I was there for 25 years, but hey, I knew how things should be ran. It seems to be those young men that come along, personal experience. Didn't matter. I had education. I was going to school. I couldn't wait to tell him how it should be ran. So when we deal with the scripture here, he says, likewise, you young men, submit yourselves to your elders. And I'll tell you, it's kind of interesting. For youth, it seems to be a wonderful season. I just remember that. I mean, don't you remember that you just felt like, man, I've got the world by the tail. I was wondering, what did the world do without me before I arrived on the scene? But it's also a very dangerous time for young people because they have a hard time learning to submit to the elders. But there's great times because young people are daring, they're creative, they're impulsive, they feel almost invincible. Do I get an amen? Ah, that was a great season. But it's dangerous because we, as young people, might feel infinitely wiser. It was worth noting, isn't it, that Lehman Bison said this, that the error of youth is to believe that intelligence is a substitute for experience. So oftentimes, so young people come along and they don't listen to the elders. And that's what Peter's addressing. Man, people are suffering here. I just got to tell you, especially you young men, submit to the elders. There are great examples in history where that has not gone over so well. One of the most noteworthy is Rehoboam, who is taking over the entire kingdom from King Solomon. How many know King Solomon? God said he is the wisest man at that time anyway. But yet when it came to the exchanging of his son, take over the realm, that boy wasn't going to listen. And please write down so you can take it into your life groups, 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 1 through 15. I'll just let you write that down, 1 Kings 12, 1 through 15. The occasion with which I'm describing here, also it's listed as well in 2 Chronicles 10, 1 through 15. Here's how it rolled. Rehoboam came onto the throne. Solomon's out of the way. All of a sudden, all of the nation came to Rehoboam, the king, and said, hey, dude, basically, please relax the tax. Your dad was oppressing us. So Rehoboam went to two groups for advice. The wise advisors from his father's era, and they said, listen to the people, and they will submit to you and be loyal to you. Then he went to the young men that he grew up with who said, exercise your authority. And you just tell them that my little pinky is going to be thicker than my daddy's wrist. I'm going to make it tough for you. And the kingdom split and it never recovered. So it's interesting we take a look how that this little timely phrase, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. I like Hebrews 13, verse 17. May you want to look for that. Just a couple of books over, very close to 1 Peter. Can you find it there? Let's let the Word of God speak to you and me. Because I know we're fine here, but there's going to be one time maybe you might be able to help somebody and say, is it say something in the Word about what we as a family might be facing? Hebrews 13, 17, last chapter of Hebrews, just before the book of James, says, obey those who rule over you. In other words, obey your spiritual authority over you. And be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy, not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for who? Now, it's worth noting, it says, for the person, you, not to the spiritual authority. It will be unprofitable for you. So that's important when we take a look at something like that. And submission to another authority on earth, man, that is an act of faith. And I think we've all been there. Because you're really putting your trust into somebody that you hope will not take advantage of you. If you've ever had somebody take advantage of you, it takes a long time to recover faith in humanity. Some people start to say very negative things about even spiritual church of authority because they just don't want to learn what it is to have that, what the Scripture says, you younger men, submit to your elders. So we look here, it's important once again. Let's look at number two. Let's move on a little bit. Living in humility enhances fellowship. Let's look at that for just a moment. Let's look at verse 5. Letter B means the latter part of that. It says, yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So now Peter moves in and says, now all of you be submissive to one another. We talked to the younger generation, now let's go for all of you. And in that, that word submission in the Greek, it's literally a military term. It really means to come under somebody else's authority. So that, and he brings in humility. You're surrendering your rights to say, okay, I'm going to let this person take responsibility. And he says, all of you, be clothed with humility. Man, can you imagine? In that Greco-Roman era, that was not a popular declaration. Humility was not a value in that time. It was a sign of weakness. You were either Greek or you are barbarian. That's how it was. And humility in our society is still viewed the same way. It's not something that is deemed well spoken of or valued. But humility is actually a virtue. It is a virtue. It's a slippery virtue. It is one of those tricky virtues, because if you think you are a humble person, then you're not. It's kind of bizarre. I think I'm humble. You know you aren't. If you think you are, you're not. Cute little story about this church. They were looking for the most humble person to honor in their church. So here is this kind little old man working behind the scenes. Nobody ever recognized him. He never wanted any form of recognition, no attention, no accolades. And they said, hey, they all voted. You're the one. So they brought him up forward, gave him a little tiny pen, says, I'm humble. The next Sunday, they took it away from him because he wore it. Take a look and says, be clothed with humility. Phillips' translation says, literally, put on the clothing of a slave, wear the overalls of humility, and serve each other. Wow. That really will take a transformed person that says, my life is hidden in Christ. But it does not come naturally. I like the fact how in Philippians, let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And the reason why humility is such a wonderful virtue, because our Savior is humble. Jesus is very humble. He does not have to exert any form of push. Philippians chapter 2, if you take a look right after 1 and 2 Corinthians, let's go to Galatians, Ephesians, then you'll find in Philippians. Check it out here. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You can imagine as the writer of the book of Philippians in verse 3 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Friends, it's an amazing thing that Peter is writing out and finishing off his epistle. He's saying, you all need to be submitted to one another. Tough times come, and that can bring out the worst of people. But consider others better than yourself. D.L. Moody says, Lord, make me humble, but don't let me know it. Isn't that funny? Clothing yourself with humility. So what is humility? Somebody says, well, I'm just going to think sour about myself. That is not humility. Friends, this is what, if you think negative about yourself and say that's humble, that is not. Matter of fact, you'll break the heart of Jesus who made you and say you did a bad deed when you made me because my life stinks and I don't like the way I look and I hate the people you gave me and my family's rotten to me and it's like, whoa, that's called the pride of the worm. Woe is me. But here's what humility is. It's simply not thinking of yourself at all. Not thinking of yourself at all. Be able to focus in on Jesus and his kingdom. Be more mindful of others. That's true humility. And the scripture says, yes, all of you be submissive one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So as we take a look at that once again, letter A, keeps ourselves accessible to you. Letter B, keeps God from fighting you. Humility is amazing how that is, and he cites there how that Proverbs 3 verse 34, he really cites that the quickest way to have a tussle with God is to have pride start to swell up. And if you've ever been in any form of anguish and difficulty, at all, you might want to spend time with the Lord and say, Lord, is it me? Because society has a way, if your relationships are coming undone, the two lubricants that put the society together is submission and humility. Those wheels put relationships back. So just see, Lord, how am I doing in that regard? So as we look at that, Lord, don't let this happen. Somebody once said, pride is the mother that is pregnant with all the other sins. And you know me, I've often said that prayerlessness is nothing more than pride. We really don't pray. And prayer is just talking to God. You don't have to come up with some memorized books of prayers. You just, Lord, here, this is what's going on in my life. Can we talk? Because you need his involvement. You want him to be involved. Oh, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. I love it. The day that my grandson, Silas, looked up, we were walking the sidewalk, and he said, Papa, hold my hand. I wanted to actually pick that kid up and just squeeze a little, and just, how cute is that? I felt so good. You know, isn't that the way Father God is when you just say, Father, can you hold my hand in this situation? Instead of just saying, stay back, walk behind me, I can handle it. So pride is one way to really get ourselves in trouble. Number three, resting in sovereignty acknowledges lordship. Letter A, permits God to promote you. I love that. Let's look at verse 6. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Look at that a little bit here. Look at the therefore. When you see that in verse 6. Therefore, that means he's tying in two thoughts together. Here we go, two thoughts. Make sure you're submitted and humble with each other, but here it is now with God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. It's an Old Testament term. When they were needing some help from God, they're going into some dangerous episodes. We want to make sure we are under God. I love it when couples get married, because what they're saying is, especially with the church covering, we are getting our marriage relationship under Christ. Man, that's the way to end. And now it's going to just be up to that couple to maintain under Christ. But here, where do we humble ourselves? Under the mighty hand of God, that mighty hand of God. So if there's ever a barrier to God blessing you, it would be pride, and therefore humble yourself. If there's ever a barrier, you say, man, nothing is happening in my life. You may want to say, is there anybody resisting you? And just spend some time with God. As you surrender to the will of God, in hopes that he will raise you up. That's the promise. God, you may exalt me in due time. Because that's really what it is. When we trust some form of authority over us and submit to them, we're actually saying there is a sovereign God who's actually going to correct matters, and I'm going to trust God even above this person. Lord, take care of it. Take care of it. Micah 6:8 says, he has shown you, Micah 6:8, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with the Lord your God. I like that verse. I translate it, Micah 6:8, basically to do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. It comes out, be good, be fair, be four square. Four square is the humility part. But anyway, that's all right. Letter B, prohibits trouble from consuming you. Look at verse 7. Let's do the takeaway here. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's my rendering. You might have another translation. That word care can be translated worry, can be translated anxiety. Casting all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. That's appropriate. It can work. You can see that there. I'd call this verse a soft pillow for a tired heart. You come along and say, okay, Lord, what's going on? Let's look at a couple of verses and let's button this together. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Then we're going to swing on over to Philippians, Matthew 6. Okay, going all the way to the left. Matthew 6, verse 25. You there? Good. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus gives a command. Here's what he says. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. That's a command. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Do not worry. That's a command. Now, I think we're all kind of used to worrying. Matter of fact, the National Institute of Mental Health says that anxiety is the most frequently reported emotional distress or illness. 13 million Americans per day suffer with anxiety, worried about something. 13 million. We're taking a look at something right here. If you can catch it by the Holy Spirit, you'll be free. So let's look. God says, don't worry. If you worry, you're now in sin, right? God says, don't commit these acts of treason, and we do it. How about worry? Somebody says that worry is a mild dose of atheism. You just don't think God's going to come on. Somebody once asked G. Campbell Morgan, Dr. Morgan, what should I pray to God about? My big problems or my little problems? He said in his little London accent, because he's a great preacher, he said, Madam, he says, tell me, is anything in your life bigger than God? So bring it all. Cast all your care to the Lord, Don't worry. So what do we do with worry? Let's go to Philippians. Go to the right. We're going to pass Acts, Romans. Then you're going to see 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, then Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Got it?
Yeah.
Good job. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, check it out here. Because Scripture is saying something to us about worry. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Some translations actually use the word worry. Worry for nothing or worry about nothing. What do we do then? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7 is the byproduct, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. And then verse 8, finally, brethren, dwell on these things that are virtuous, true, lovely. I mean, that's a brief little small biography of Jesus, verse 8 is, because he's lovely in everything. But verse 6 says, worry about nothing. So what do? You pray about it. So let's take now 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Because we just saw where Scripture is saying, cast all your worry to the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. This is how it works. Usually, about 2 in the morning, I get wide awake because I'm worried for you. And I can't get back to sleep. I'm literally worried. I mean, you should be sleeping so good that somebody's worried for you. You should not be up at night. I hope that pastor's worrying for me so I can sleep tonight. And it says in Scripture, cast all your worry. How much is all? All your worry, all your anxiety. So this is what I do. This is what the Bible says. You don't go praying about it. Don't let your motivation of stress say, well, I got to pray. Oh. The first thing is, worry about nothing. What do I do with it? Cast it to him. That's, Lord, I am so filled with anxiety over the nation's election. I'm casting this emotion called care, concern, casting this worry emotion. I don't want this. And I don't want to have to go back to my old ways of numbing it through self-medication. Lord, take this worry. You know he does. And a peace comes. Philippians 4, 7, peace of God that surpasses our understanding will guard your heart, mind, and Christ. Have you experienced that? There is a peace of God, a perfect peace, Jeremiah says. I will count him, basically, I will give him perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon me because he trusts in me. So, there I am, feeling better. So, Philippians 4, 6, worry about nothing, pray about everything. With prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and I start praying for you. And I feel good, got it all off. Where we go? Back into bed. I sleep like a baby for about an hour and a half, then all of a sudden the worry starts coming. Boom. That devil, he is such a stinker. And I usually might have my electronic app so I can see it. Say, devil, see this? I cast my worry to the Lord. He is going to care for this right now. You liar, get out of here in the name of Jesus. And I close off my app and I go back to bed. Man, and now I sleep like a baby. I hope you just heard what I said. But if you're not accustomed to casting care to God, then maybe you're trying to handle too much and spinning the world on your own shoulder. Not a pleasant place. So as we look here and just welcome David as he comes forward here, how wonderful it is for the Lord to help us. So you have to decide what kind of God you believe in, a close, personal, caring God or a cold, aloof, passive God. And if relationships are getting harder in your life, check the oil, check submission, check humility. See where you're at. There is a God in heaven who controls everything, and we trust the Complete control of the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? I love the Bible. It's so applicable for me. I believe it. It works. I would have a hard time sharing it with you if it didn't. It has bailed Ainsley and my children and now my grandchildren out many, many times. This word has actually seen my parents to glory. This word has really assisted bringing salvation to our city. I believe we need to get it out as quickly as we can. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Why should we worry? Let's put our life in His hands. He'll be so happy that you did. Let's pray right now. Father, we want to thank You for Your goodness. That, Lord, for those that might find themselves really challenged, extremely frustrated because somebody's letting them down, huge. And they won't find rest until that person gets with it. Lord, we repent. We want to first just have Your peace that passes understanding. Dear friend, take that moment right now, and you can cast that care. Cast that care. Do that. Get rid of that emotion. Find yourself becoming vindictive, upset, unforgiving. Not their fault. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise God. Lord, let Your peace come right now. The result, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God that surpasses our understanding, come and guard hearts and mind in Christ. Peace. Peace. Amen. I'm going to invite you, friends. Let's stand to our feet. We do have individuals that are here to pray. I want to welcome them forward here at this time, station themselves. I want to invite you, if you can. They're going to be praying the whole time. We want to also encourage you to get out and please sign up for a life group. We're excited. These are 12-week sessions, and you'll be glad that you did. Thank you for your support and love for Ainsley and me and for this church. What God's doing here and to you. No worries, okay? Keep each other accountable. Yep. Hey, we need to bring it before the Lord. Bring His peace in. So, Lord, thank You as we just bless each and everyone on their way. Thank You for our willingness to let others pray, maybe even a mere stranger. Say, Lord, would You use this stranger? We submit our prayer request to them. Let signs and wonders follow in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, everyone. We're going to dismiss you. Thanks for coming. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.